There's truly nothing like the first sip of coffee in the morning. I just made myself a cappuccino. Just imagine that we are having a coffee date. I love going on coffee dates with my friends. And since I'm here solo today, just imagine we're having a coffee date, me and you, catching up, talking about random things. Okay, this is actually quite weird. I didn't expect to feel like a little nervous doing this on my own until I just started pressing record. But here we are. If you don't know, Yoni is still in Belgium. From today, he's going to be coming back home a week from today. So I still have a full week solo, living on my own. I have been back in New York for, I think, like 5 days or 6 days or so. I got back this past Sunday. So yeah, it's been interesting being in the apartment by myself and going day by day, almost like not talking to anybody. It's something that I didn't realize would be like my biggest observation, is the fact that if I didn't call anyone on the phone or like have to record something like right now or for like my videos, I would not talk for like a whole day, especially because I work from home. So like if I don't have to get on a meeting and if I don't leave the house, like I'm not talking to anybody for a whole day. And if that happens like several days, that's kind of crazy. And if you don't know, I have never lived on my own, because once I moved out of my parents' apartment or my parents' home in Seattle, I moved in with Yoni. So I never really got to live truly on my own in my own apartment, like no roommates, no partner, no family. Because even when I was in Canada before, when I was in high school and like since from like sixth grade until senior year and graduating, I was in a dorm, but like I think I only had my room by myself. Like I was solo in my room for 1 year, and I think that was 10th grade, I believe. But either way, like you're with people all the time, so it doesn't even count. But it's been very interesting navigating like being truly living on my own for this long, because I've done it before, but it was like a lot shorter. I did it once in Seattle, where I think like traveling kind of lined up the same way. And I will tell you, I am having a lot more kind of like understanding and respect for people that live on their own, in terms of like, for one, you do get to have a lot more leftovers. Let me just say, I've been cooking for myself and I'm like adjusting the way that I cook, because I'm realizing I'm like making too much food and I have so much left over for like 3 days of lunches and dinners. So that's interesting, because your food lasts a lot longer, especially because I obviously eat a lot less than Yoni because he's twice my height. So he kind of eats two portions of what I would normally eat. So that's why I'm like, wow, food lasts so much longer now that I'm just here by myself. What else have I done? I also just like can go without talking for like a whole day. And then I realize like, oh, let me call this friend or let me call this person, because I miss talking to someone. And it's something that I didn't realize before. When I'm like with Yoni at home, I can just like talk anytime because he's here, obviously. Another thing that I've been doing is I rearranged our living room. Yoni called me on FaceTime the other day and he was like, hold on a second, like why is the couch in the middle of the room? And I told him before we left for this trip that I will be making some changes when he's not home, because I feel like when you're here by yourself without your partner, at least I get the urge to just do a bunch of like random things that, if they were here, I know they would be like, oh no, don't do that, or like, it's not gonna look good, or blah, blah, blah. But since he's not here, I'm like, I've been meaning to try this configuration of the living room to see how it looks. And I think it's looking really good. I've been liking it. We're gonna have to figure out how to film the pod if we are gonna keep this configuration. But regardless, yeah, we're here having a little solo episode. If you are new here, this is your first time listening, welcome. This is the What's the Juice podcast, and I am your solo host for the day, Alia Zaitza. Usually my other host, my lovely husband and life partner is also here, and his name is Yoni Ikoto, but he is currently in Belgium. And yeah, we're just on a little solo coffee date. I asked you guys to send me some questions because it's actually funny. This is the first time that I will be doing a solo episode in all of the years we've been doing the podcast, which now we're in like our fourth season, which is wild. And Yoni had a solo episode, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know if it's in the first season, but definitely the second season, when something like this happened where I was traveling and then he was here and we had to put out an episode. So he recorded on his own. But I do think recording a solo episode is kind of fun. And I've been meaning to explore this more maybe on Patreon. So yeah, I would love to hear like what you guys think. It's definitely interesting because you're kind of just rambling to yourself, which to be fair, I'm very used to, since on YouTube, I'm pretty much just rambling to a piece of equipment because I'm just talking to a camera. There's no other person on the other side. Technically on the podcast, I'm talking to Yoni. So I am actually quite used to doing this. But I asked you guys on Instagram to send me some questions specifically for me, since I'll be recording a solo episode, and I didn't look at any of these, so I'm just going to be selecting them as we go. So first question, somebody asked, what's your go-to outfit? I would say it changes and I go through phases and I get like obsessions with certain combinations depending on the season. But like, I would say in this summer, I've had a few. I think like every month, maybe I have like an obsession with one specific combination. It could be as simple as like a pair of jean shorts with a black tank top, but it's like a specific black tank top that I'm actually wearing right now. Cause I get to this point, like in a season, especially I would say the last month of like summer or fall or winter, where I'm not excited anymore about dressing for that season. So I will just be outfit repeating and item repeating like crazy without really caring, because I'm just trying to get dressed and get on with my day. So I don't really have a go-to outfit, and also what I wear is like pretty basic. It just depends on what my item obsessions become for that season. Like this summer, I have worn this like cobalt blue t-shirt from Le Bon Shop, which if you're looking for really nice quality t-shirts and like basics and socks and stuff like that, you should check out Le Bon Shop, LeBonneShoppe, I think, something like that. I love them. They have amazing stuff, really high quality, I think 100% cotton. And I was obsessed. I got like a bunch of their t-shirts and I wore them nonstop. And I just wore those with different shorts. And that was kind of my summer uniform. That or tank tops. And the summer is just like so hot. So I'm definitely excited for fall. Today we are having a very hot, or not very hot day, but it's like a day in the 80s. So it's still kind of summer here. It's New York is going through its second summer before we're like fully down into fall. So I'm kind of over it. I'm ready to be cozy. I'm ready to wear like a light long sleeve or like a light jacket or something, or even a light sweater and like long pants. I'm ready for that. But yeah, so my go-to outfit is usually something basic, whatever I'm reaching for all the time is my go-to outfit, which is usually simple. It's nothing crazy. I outfit repeat a lot. So I don't know if that answered that question, but yeah, I'm a pretty basic gal, like jeans and a black shirt or a white t-shirt, like go-to right there. Somebody said, how to thrive in a major city? You know, I feel like this kind of goes back to sort of how I was talking about that I've never lived on my own. I didn't move to New York on my own. I've never made a like big major city move solo, because when I was in like every time I moved somewhere was like either for school or with my family, or moved in with Yoni or moved to New York with Yoni. So in that sense, like I've never done anything by myself. And I feel like that definitely plays a part, because if I were to have moved to New York on my own and without a partner, it would have been a lot more difficult. And that's just the reality, because you're on your own. There's nobody, you're not doing this new experience with someone by your side. So I have major respect for anybody that moves to a new city without knowing anybody and doing it on their own. That is incredible. But I would say, like, in general, just being and living in a major city can sometimes become overwhelming. And I can tell you, once I got back from my trip just now, like this past weekend, I was a hermit in my apartment for like the first 2 to 3 days, where I didn't really leave. I went to get groceries, but that's about it. Like, I didn't go in the city to like even run an errand, other than that one time that I got groceries. That was it. One, because I actually had a lot of work to do and I had to edit a video. So I was like heads down in my computer. But I also felt this sense of anxiety that I've never felt before about going into the city, because New York especially is like such a major, major city, and there's always like so much going on. And I kind of came back on the trickle end of New York Fashion Week. So I just know like the streets are like very busy and people are, you know, going full on with their like outfits, and their energy is just out there. And I needed some peace and quiet. So I kind of was like getting anxiety over the fact that I haven't been in the city yet. And it was interesting because that's never happened to me before. But once I went outside, obviously everything was fine. And then I went outside again, and then I was like, oh yeah, this is why I live here. So I don't know. I feel like you have to like being in a major city in order to thrive in it. Like, if the city gives you a lot of anxiety and if the city is stressing you out, then maybe like you're not a city person and like you're not meant to thrive in that type of environment. But at the same time, if you do like being in a major city and there's a lot of aspects about it that you do enjoy, but you feel like,
look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
You can't find, like, your place, or you are intimidated, or I think there's, like, a way to make, especially a city like New York, I don't know where this person lives, but I can only speak from my experience. There's many sides of New York that like I don't necessarily like participate in. Like, I'm not in the party scene. I'm not in the nightlife scene, just because that's never been my thing. I will go to a bar, I'll have some drinks, but I'm not going to like go to the club or like go out in that sense. But there are some aspects of the city that I just don't participate in, and I'm totally okay with that. And I'm not like missing out in my mind, because that's just not my thing. But that doesn't make me feel like I'm not thriving in the city just because I'm not participating in every aspect that the city has to offer. Because at the same time, there's many things that I do enjoy doing, such as like riding my bike everywhere, running into strangers and talking to strangers, whether it's in a bar or in a restaurant or at a museum or just like in a bookshop. Love that. That's like, for me, the biggest aspect that I love about New York is the energy that strangers bring to one another, because it's so beautiful to see. And I've never experienced that before, the way that strangers just want to meet other strangers. And that's the overall kind of energy everybody participates in this city. And also just the potential, the ambition, the way that people just like want to do shit with their life and carry that throughout their day, whether that's like just going to the park and reading a book or working on some like cool creative project or creating a cool community of people that they love and that they feel resonate with them. And it's just like everybody is like being able to be confident in a city that is big is up to how you want to live in it. And don't feel like just because you're not into this part of this city, it means you're not thriving. You can make your own city out of the city that you live in. I don't know if that made any sense, but I just participate in New York in a way that I feel like I'm thriving. And I have friends that participate in the same city differently, and they're also thriving. So you make what you want out of the major city that you're in. You just have to know what you want and live in that. And that means that you're going to be thriving. All right, that was a long-winded answer. Somebody said, how do you have the courage to travel alone? I've always wanted to, but I am scared. I actually don't travel alone much. I think that's another thing. Since I've been in this relationship with Yoni for like 7 years, I just didn't really get the opportunity to actually do a lot of solo things. And sometimes I do have the wish. We're still going to do like a pre-baby bucket list episode. Don't worry. We're going to do that when Yoni comes back and we have our life together a little bit more. But I would say part of that list for me is like definitely having a solo experience, which I did have. Let me backtrack. When we went to Portugal, sorry, my voice keeps cracking because I keep talking like really fast. When we went to Portugal and went to Lisbon together, from Lisbon, I went to this culinary retreat in the south of Lisbon, in the south of Portugal. And that's like the closest thing I would call to like solo traveling, even though I was like traveling to an experience. And then I was on that farm. Yeah, I haven't really done much solo traveling. I think I would love to, but then at the same time, like, I want to experience every place I can, like, with Yoni, because that's why we're together. And, like, I want, like, anytime, even when we went to Italy, I went to Italy with my family, to the Amalfi Coast. And when we were there, I was, like, you know, going in the water, and I was enjoying all the swimming that we were doing, like, every morning and every evening. And all the like beautiful drives, and every time we were like exploring a new city or like a new little town, I would just be thinking how much like Yoni would enjoy taking photos there. Or like sometimes I would see a photo that I was like, damn, like Yoni would have taken such a good photo here. You know, it's like our lives are so intertwined, and like we are such a, like we're a family, Yoni and I. Obviously I have my family, he has his family, but we are also our family. And because of that, like it's so ingrained and like kind of, you know, it's like it's my life and it's his life. So I don't know, like solo traveling, does that make sense? Like I would like to, but at the same time, I know that if I were to decide like, oh, okay, I'm going to go on like a solo travel trip to, I don't know, like Mexico City, for example, I feel like I would want Yoni to go with me, and I would want him to experience that first time going to a place too, and also with each other. So I don't know. It's a little bit tricky. But so that's why I feel like I can't really answer this, because I myself don't solo travel. Sorry. So can't really answer that question. All right. Somebody said, do you struggle with body image or food problems now? I will tell you, this summer has been a sort of like life-changing summer from this perspective, because I cannot tell you, we did a whole episode on body image, which you can listen to, where we both dove deeply into kind of this realization that I've had and this new place that I found myself in mentally, that I've come to accept what my body looks like in a way that I have never before in my life. There's many things that have happened in my life that have gotten me here. I can't specifically point out all of them. And that if you want to listen to that episode, you totally should, because that's all that episode is about. But even like after this Italy trip, I realized like how much more comfortable I am in just how my body looks. And the fact that it's like I don't have a super lean and long and relatively small body, but I also don't have a large body in the way that like I used to see myself, because I come from such a like restrictive background in ballet. But I don't know, I just used to judge myself so much before. And I don't know what happened this summer that I've really leaned into like finding the things that I used to judge myself for, whether it's like my love handles or my legs or my thighs that touch all the time, or like, I don't know, my cellulite on my legs when I'm like sitting down in a certain way, or the fact that like the back of my arms when I move them, like they flap around, like random shit like that, that girls, if you're listening to this, we all have our own things that we like stress out about that are just silly to stress about. There's so many other things that are much more important than that. But I've come to just like love those parts of myself because they show that like I live life, and they like, I just, I don't know, when I was looking at myself in my video that I was editing from Italy, and I was like noticing all these things, like those details that I just mentioned, but I noticed them as like a sign of like health. You know what I mean? Is like they, because I just know how I live my life, and those parts of myself represent me living the life that I am happy with. You know what I mean? And like for me, I have a good sense of like, I don't know, balance that, trust me, did not take 2 days to build. Where we've been here for a long time, okay? Like, I stopped dancing about 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago. So it's been a long process of healing and of finding beauty in, like, how I look and how I am. Because I used to be so, like, upset about the fact that I have a short torso, or, like, things that you just, like, cannot change about yourself. But then also, like, my relationship with food and exercise had always been, like, not the best because of just how ballet has influenced those for me. But I've come to really, like, just, I've had to relearn so much about what beauty means, first of all. Like, what something that looks a certain way can be beautiful. Like, there's beauty in a certain body type, the way that there's beauty in the body type that we're constantly told on like social media and in media and fashion and stuff in general, that like, oh, that's like what's beautiful. But that doesn't mean that another version of a body isn't beautiful as well. And that's something that I've had to like reteach myself, that now when like I look in the mirror, I don't look and see like something that I don't like. And I really wish that I could tell you how I did that. And sometimes I am surprised in myself that like I look at my legs and I'm like, oh, my legs look nice. I've never said that to myself once in my life. Like literally before this summer, I don't know what happened. And I'm truly speaking from the heart. Like I'm not trying to sound all like, oh my God, life's changed. But I literally was asking Yoni, I'm like, have my legs always looked like this? Like, am I crazy? And he's like, your legs have looked like this since I've met you. And I was just like, how is this possible? Because I have never in my life seen my legs in a photo or like a video or anything and thought like, oh, my legs look good. Like never in my life. So it's something that has switched in my brain, which shows you just how strong your mind is and how powerful it is. And it will make you believe anything, which is why like, which is why this is such an issue, which is why like you can look in the mirror one day and think you look good, and you can look in the mirror 2 days later and be like, oh, I don't look how I want to look and I hate how I look and blah, blah, blah. But you look the exact same. That is your brain. And I think once you realize that, and once you start trying to teach yourself and relearn and rewire your brain, you have to figure this out on your own, because I don't know how I did it. It was like, everybody's going to have a different journey, because I come from a very specific background. But yeah, once you like, it will click. Something will click. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this has just happened this past summer. And I'm truly so, so happy about it, that I've found this balance of like, I love working out. I love lifting weights. I have no fear of lifting heavy weights and being quote unquote bulky. That is BS to me. I think women should lift weights. I just saw my grandma, both my grandmas and both my grandpas when I went to Romania. They did not lift weights or stay active most of their lives. My grandma, one of them, has been active, and she's the one that walks the best, has the most strength, is the most active, does not need any type of like device to help her, or not device, but like, she doesn't need like a cane or like a walker, or doesn't struggle walking. You know, it's like she is in her 80s, and so are all the other ones. But because she was active, not necessarily in the gym, but active as like in the garden, like planting and pulling weeds and like climbing trees. She was always so active ever since I know her, that it just shows how being active, lifting things, and consistently sticking with an active lifestyle will help you stay healthier when you get older. Because I'm not working out right now necessarily like, okay, yeah, I like to have muscles and I like to lift weights and I want to be healthy. But I'm also really, really thinking about how what I'm doing right now will affect me in how I will be when I'm in my 50s, in my 60s, in my 70s, in my 80s, and hopefully in my 90s. And if you think about exercising that way, it becomes less so about like losing, I don't know, like back fat or like whatever thing you're obsessing over, which by the way, you can't lose. You can't target where you lose fat. So that doesn't work anyways. But obsessing over like, oh, you have a little like muffin top or whatever. It's not about losing that muffin top. It's about just like being healthy and having muscles, especially for women. Like it's so hard to keep muscle once you reach a certain age because of our hormones changing. Like obviously, at a certain point when you start going through menopause, like your hormones change drastically and holding on to muscle is a lot harder. And if you don't have muscle, your bones will also start deteriorating. And then that's when you start breaking bones a lot easier. You can read all about this. You can do your own research. Ask ChatGPT if you don't believe me. But that's why I'm like encouraging everybody to lift weights. Stop being scared of lifting weights. Stop trying to be like, I want Pilates arms. Why? Like, because we all know what quote unquote Pilates arms are. Like, let's just like lift weights. Let's be strong. Don't be scared of the gym. If there's so many guys in the gym, like you go in the gym and you show them and you like learn how to lift weights. And who cares if the weights that you're lifting are way lighter than the weights that they're lifting? Who cares? Just go in there, do your thing, get out. And also, like, let me tell you, lifting weights brings up your confidence. Trust me on that. Once you work up the confidence to go into the gym where in the weight section, not the gym section, not the little like mat section, in the weights section where there's a lot of guys there, you go, you're one of the only girls, maybe there's only a girl there too. You pick up your weights, whatever weight you can lift, and you do your exercise and you put them back and you go on about your day. If you do that several times, you will see each time you go and you do it, it will get easier. It will get less intimidating. You will actually get stronger and you'll actually enjoy going to the gym and having fun. Because trust me, lifting weights is fun. Being strong, like as a woman, feeling strong and powerful is empowering. So give it a try. Okay, I'm done with that question because I could like go on forever. Okay, wow, it's getting hot in here. Let's see. How to find motivation when you are in a rut and how to get out of a rut. This happens to me quite often, especially with work, because it can get quite repetitive sometimes of making videos, obviously, like about my life, and life doesn't always change. And there's something that happens, especially after traveling and you film this like beautiful traveling video, whether like, for example, coming back from Italy and I just edited like the Italy video and it's so beautiful and it's new and it's captivating and it's a very specific type of creative feeling I get when filming a travel video. And then I come back to New York and then I go back to like cooking my kitchen and like going to the gym and like all these things, which are normal. But then they're not as exciting and as beautiful in my mind as like a creative output. So sometimes I get this like anxiety a little bit about picking up my camera and filming the regular videos again. And it's like quite paralyzing. And if you're a content creator, you might know what I'm talking about, because I've talked about this with my other creator friends many times. And truly the only way to get out of that specific rut, but that could apply to anything. It could be like any type of life rut. I really think the only way to get out of it is through. The only way to get out of a rut is through the thing that you are in a rut for. Whether that's filming videos, which is for me, or whether that is going to the gym because you haven't gone to the gym and you haven't been active. And you know that if you moved your body in a more like intentional way, you would feel a lot better. But just the idea of that is giving you anxiety. Just go do the workout. If you feel like you're in a rut in, I don't know, like whole life situation, I think you need to choose. Like if many aspects of your life just feel that way, just kind of muggy, kind of like nothing really feels good, I think one, do things that make you feel good. You should have like a running list in your notes on your phone of random things that like will always make you feel good. And usually like for me, I just know when I'm not feeling good, and it's not a specific thing. It's kind of like a lot of things accumulated together that make me feel like just meh. I always do the same thing. I drop everything. I put on an outfit that I feel good in, that is somewhat interesting maybe, that I'm comfortable in, that I feel confident in. I grab a book, whether it's a book that I'm starting now or a book that I've been reading or whatever. I grab a book. I go to one of my favorite coffee shops. I put in my headphones. I order a coffee, I get a pastry, and I sit and I read for like 2 to 3 hours. Let me tell you, that's one of my favorite things to do. And it recharges me so much in a way that like, I don't know what it is about it. But I think everybody has, whether it's that or it's like going to the park or it's going for a run or it's hanging out with a friend or it's painting or making food at home. Like everybody has a thing that just gives them joy. There has to be. And if you don't have one, like you have to find one, because that's what life is about. So I feel like if you have a note list on your phone where you just write out the things that will, no matter what, bring you joy and calm down your nervous system, then you need to write those down. And then whenever you're feeling like you're in a rut or you're stuck or just icky, look at that list, choose one thing that you want to do and do it. It could be going for a walk and listening to like your favorite album. It could be so many different things. Just drop everything, regardless whether you have responsibilities or not. Sometimes you just have to be like, you know what? That's for tomorrow. Like today, I just can't. And most of the time, things that are not urgent, like can be dropped. Sometimes we like hold on to them as like, no, I have to do this today. And it just depends on like everyone's life. But I know for me, like I consider every video that I'm like, I need to do it. I need to finish it right now. And it might be like 2 a.m. and I'm still working on it. And I'm like, oh, it's not done. I have to keep going. Like, no, girl, go to sleep. Like you can do this tomorrow. And I can, but I get in this like weird mindset. But the other day I was like, I could not focus. I had been working on this video. I was like, you know what? I need to close this and I need to like make food and watch TV. And I did. And it was amazing. And it felt a lot better. And I also was like, wait, I actually can. Like, I don't have to finish this right now. So, yeah, the only way out of a rut is through whatever that rut is. And if the rut is like a more factor rut, like multi-factor rut, if that makes sense, like multiple things in your life make you feel like you're in a rut, do something that really brings you joy and see how you feel after it. And you might actually have a lot more clarity once you feel a little bit of joy. You might have a lot more clarity on like what the next step needs to be or what next step you need to take to get out of the rut. And usually it's through whatever the rut is. All right. What would you be doing if you weren't creating content? Probably working in some sort of marketing. Because when I went to college, I was in a communication program. And then out of college, before I finished, I did an internship at a creative agency. But it's hard to know because like I did that because I was already making YouTube videos and like in the creator space. And then that's kind of why I was good at that job, because like I had so much experience with being a creator myself. But yeah, probably something in marketing, I would assume. Hard to say. All right, next thing. How did you find your aesthetic? I don't know what my aesthetic is. I kind of just make things that I personally think are good, or I take photos, or I make videos or capture things and add, like, make them the way that they are to a level at which I think they are good. I don't make content that is necessarily gonna, like, quote unquote, perform well. Obviously, I do certain things, like in the titles of my videos, I put like keywords that people search for, because it's, you know, it's like I still have to make money from this. But on the overall scheme of things, when it comes to like my content and what I make, I truly just try to stay true with like what I like, and then I just put that out. I don't think too much about like, oh, is this going to get a lot of views? Like, because I think then that gets in your own way and you don't really create things that are actually good, because you get obsessed with the numbers, which is never good. All right. Next thing. Favorite thing about entering womanhood? I mean, I don't know, you guys. I love being a woman. I truly, truly love being a woman. I love everything that has to do with being a woman. And obviously, like, I have my own ideas of like what a modern woman is. And I've talked a lot about this in like other episodes, and have had some like hot takes, but I don't know. I like to be, as even though I'm married, obviously, I love to be as independent as I can. I love being an individual, while also being part of a team with my husband. I love, just being like the woman that I am. I don't know. I don't overanalyze. There's a lot of things that I know I want in my life as a woman. And that is like independence and strength and grace and intelligence and conversations and depth and freedom and the ability to like make decisions about my own life and my own body and eventually becoming a mother and getting to instill those things into my child. Like, I don't know what womanhood really is. It's just kind of what each woman wants it to be for herself, I guess. All right. Somebody asked, do you see yourself staying in New York City forever? If not, where? I mean, this is like an ongoing debate in my life and Yoni's life, because as we're inching towards, you know, starting a family, it's something that we're thinking about all the time. And I used to say, like, if you listen to an episode from the first year that we moved to New York, I was very adamant about like, no, New York is like our home forever and blah, blah, blah. And it's not that I don't believe that anymore. Like, I still love living in this city a lot. But at the same time, like, the magic of it is definitely not as like strong, especially because I think about it from the perspective of like building a family and like my kids living here. And it's not so much that I have a fear of like my kids living or growing up in a city like New York. It's not that, like, in terms of like safety or different things like that. Of course, that's part of it. But what's, I guess, like the main factor in this decision is money, because living in New York, like, you, everything is so insanely expensive for one. But then you also have to pay for like state tax and city tax, which adds up. And that's money that you could keep and buy a home or invest in the stock market or go towards your kids' like college fund or like different things like that, you know? So I would say like that's the biggest like factor. But I love living in the city and I love everything that has to do with the city. And if I were to move anywhere else in the US, like, I don't know where, if there is a place that I would move to, the closest and most like a rational place would be New Jersey, because it's so close to New York City, and they have no city or state tax, so that kind of solves the problem while also being close to the city. But that is like not something that will happen within the next year, I don't think, or even two, who knows. But yeah, definitely have changed my opinion on that one in the last year, which is kind of crazy how fast I changed my mind, but that's just who I am. All right, let me see what else we got here. Somebody asked, why don't you publish your videos in 4K? Because it takes insanely long to export and upload. And also editing in 4K slows down your computer an insane amount. And filming in 4K also is a lot more, like the files are a lot larger. So everything just takes longer, basically. And since you have to, since I have to edit a video every week, that's already, like, the hamster wheel is already spinning quite fast. Let's see. What is your favorite part of your life at this moment? Definitely my relationship. I feel like my marriage is my favorite part of my life by far, because it's like it's the best part, and I think it will be the best part probably until I have a child, and then it will have to take a a downgrade to the second favorite part of my life. But yeah, truly. All right, let's see. Sorry, I'm like doing this as I'm recording because I actually have an appointment that I have to leave for in like 5 minutes. So how do you deal with FOMO? I don't really deal with FOMO. As I said before about the question with like being active or thriving in a major city, I don't get FOMO because I am active in the city in the way that I want to. Like, if I have FOMO about something, then let me just go to that thing. You know what I mean? Like, let me go to that thing that is giving me FOMO. But I don't really have FOMO. Because if there is something that I want to do, I just go do it. Like, if I want to participate in this thing, if I want to go out, if I want to, like, I'm good. You know what I mean? And there's so many things that happen in this city that, like, you kind of learn how to not care that you were like not invited to that event or to that, I don't know, whatever is happening, because there's always something happening. So I see like my friends going to this party or this event or this thing and I wasn't invited, and usually it's like work related and I wasn't invited, and that's, it is what it is. But I'm not gonna be like, oh, I wasn't invited, like I'm so sad. Like, I don't really care that much. I don't care about being in the scene. Like, if I'm invited, cool, I'll go. But I often don't go to events because they're a little bit too sceney for me. And I'm not really in New York, like, for that. All right. How to dare to try something job-wise that is very risky financially or it just doesn't pay well. It's so sad that like our world revolves so much around money these days. And like, I know I'm saying something that is so like, duh, like, okay. I think how to dare to try something job wise that is very risky financially. I mean, I think I need like more context for this, because you obviously have to be financially responsible. So I think I would need to know more. But I think there's always a way to like try something that might be financially risky while having a financial like security blanket. So it's like, don't quit your job before you have like the next job lined up. You know what I mean? But I think I would need more context to like answer that question. Okay, somebody asked, any advice for girls who are trying to start living with their boyfriend? I think this is such a circumstantial question because it so depends on the boyfriend, but also on you. I think in any scenario, moving in with a partner will be an adjustment for both of you. Remember, they're also moving in with you just as much as you're moving in with them. And at the end of the day, it's like everybody has the right to like for something to be done in the way that they like it, whether it's like the dishes or where the shoes go or like how often you do laundry or like throwing your clothes on the bed or I don't know, the way you cook or the way all these like home things. Both parties are in the right to like things to be done the way that they are. So that's where you add in compromise and you have to talk about every single thing that you bump into. And it could be as silly as like the time you wake up or the time you go to bed or like whatever thing that you don't match in, you have to talk about it. Don't make assumptions and don't keep like pushing against what the other person wants or would like, because then you're going to have arguments. As soon as something arises and you see like, oh, we don't match in this aspect of living together, like, let's talk about it. Why do you like this being done this way? And then, or like, why do you think this is the best way to do this thing? Whether it's like washing dishes or like cleaning the house or whatever it may be. And then talk about it and have a simple conversation and also express like how you feel and maybe say like, oh, well, I've always done it this way. Like, don't you think it's better if we do it this way? And then, you know, there's a way to talk about these things that isn't argumentative and that can become like not that serious, but you just have to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, that's where the issue comes. So that's the first thing. And also don't judge them. Like if there's something that you notice that they do that you're like, ooh, like I didn't realize you like did this. Talk about it. Like you're in a relationship. If you can't talk to the person you're in a relationship with about everything, then like, I don't know. In my mind, that's how a relationship should be. I talk to Yoni about every single thing that comes up in my mind, whether it's something he did or something that I noticed or something that I thought about. Like he's the first person that I go to because he's like my person, you know? All right, I'm going to look for one last question. I got to go because I'm going to be late for this appointment. Let's see. Okay, last question. Somebody asked, how do you maintain a sense of independence in your relationship? You do it so well. Well, thank you very much. How do I maintain independence? I mean, I think like both Yoni and I are such independent and individual people, and we do not, and like from the beginning we were just never like hyperly reliant on each other's personalities and like activities and interests, if that makes sense. Like have you ever seen those couples that are like very much always doing things together? I don't know how to explain it because I'm also not like not trying to come off like judgmental in any way, but to answer the question, I think I love the things that I love and the things that bring me joy, and there's quite a few of them that like Yoni doesn't enjoy doing, and that's okay, and I don't want to force him into doing the things that I like just because I like them. The same way that like he doesn't push me or force me to like get into things that he likes if he sees like it's just not my thing, and that's okay. And at the same time, like I don't know, being in a relationship is like it's choosing each other every single day, and it's wanting to do this life together, but that doesn't mean that you as an individual no longer exist, you know? And it's funny because it's something that like I'm not actively trying to keep my independence in this relationship. And same with Yoni, like he's not actively like thinking about, oh, I need to be an independent in this relationship, so I have to like do this and this. It's so natural. It's not something that we like even talked about. We just naturally like found our flow into these spaces that are our own individual spaces of like doing the things that we like and going and doing things on our own, but then also like living in this relationship and in this family together. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to, it's hard to explain, because we have found this balance of like doing life together and being together and in the same space, but then also together, like actively quite often and all the time, doing things together, going outside, having friends, like sharing mutual friends, you know. So, but at the same time, we still have like, I have my friends and he has his friends. I don't know how to explain it, because it's natural. Like, it's not something that we were consciously or actively trying to do. But I think if you're asking this question about how to keep your independence while being in a relationship, maybe you should look at, when you're in a relationship, like, why do you feel like you can't be independent? I would want to ask you that. And if you're not in a relationship and you are scared of being in a relationship because you will lose your independence, ask yourself, like, why is that your assumption? Why do you think, like, people often think, it's the same thing with marriage. Like, people often think that once you get married, like, your life will change in like a negative way. Which I think is like how marriage has been marketed to us for some reason. Because anytime I tell someone that I've been married, and then I say like, oh yeah, I've been married for 4 years. And then I tell them how old I am. And then they're like, wait, but like, why would you get married so young? Like, you're so young, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why are you talking as if marriage is like a bad thing? Or it's like going to end your life, or it's going, like, to me, being with Yoni and like getting married to each other only embellished my life. At least I can only speak for myself, but like it grew our love for each other, and it just makes life better than, like, it makes life so good. So I don't know why like people push this idea of like marriage or being in a long-term relationship or a more serious relationship as like you lose yourself, you no longer have an independence in your own life, and you know, you have to make so many compromises and like all these things. And I mean, I don't know. I think like if you take your time and you choose your person carefully, which I have to say also comes with luck and finding the right person to be with, it's like a relationship is what you want it to be, because you decide what relationship you're in. The person you're in a relationship with is the only person in your family you get to choose. I saw this video one time. I feel like I might have said this on the podcast before. But like, in your life, you have your family that you were born into. You don't get to choose them. You don't get to choose who your mom or your dad is, your grandparents, your cousins, your siblings. You don't get to choose them. The kids, if you will have kids, the kids that you have and their children, you don't get to choose them. They will be who they will be. The only person in your life that you get to choose is your partner or your spouse, if you decide to get married. That's the only person. So you better choose wisely, and you better take your time, and you better not compromise on like your values, because you want to be with somebody that shares your values, that shares your way of life, which is why like our relationship is so good, because we got lucky and we found each other, but we really see eye to eye on almost everything. And that allows us to be our true selves in this relationship. And yeah, we compromise on like things every day. That's with like anybody. That's with your family when you live with them. That's with your kids. Like you have, like, life is about compromise. You can't just do whatever you want whenever you want, except if you want to be like with no people in your life. Even with friends, you have to compromise in certain aspects. But you want to get as close to like being with somebody that allows you to be you as much as you can, if not all the way. I feel like Yoni allows me to be who I am 100%. And I hope that I make the space for him to be who he wants to be in the way that he wants to be. And that's what it's all about. And supporting each other and being kind and nice to each other is so important, obviously, and having respect for one another, and also being able to give feedback and talk about something that's upsetting and be able to have that conversation without it feeling like, oh, we're about to break up. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these things that come with a relationship that are so complex, but that you have to know what you want and then not compromise on that when it comes to your relationship, because then it's not fair to you and it's not fair to the other person. Just remember, this is like a two people thing. It's not just about you, it's also about them. So like, they shouldn't be with somebody that doesn't match with them, and you shouldn't be with someone that doesn't match with you. Anyways, I'm rambling on and I have to go to this appointment because I'm already late. I'm gonna have to hop on a bike, but I love you guys so much. I know I didn't get to that many questions because I was rambling, but I think the ones that I chose were pretty good. And now my coffee is cold and I only had one sip, but it's okay. It's the vibe that I was trying to cultivate here with us at our coffee date. So I hope this episode was fun and you enjoyed listening to me ramble for about an hour. But next week we're going to be back with another episode, back to the normal scheduled programming. Yoni's going to be back. I think the episode we're going to drop is going to be late because he will be coming back a week from today. So he's going to be coming back Thursday. Or no, today's Friday. He's going to be coming back Friday, and we're going to have to unfortunately record like the day after he comes back, like on Saturday, and we'll record both like the audio and the Patreon. We're gonna try our best, hopefully. And so the episode next week is also gonna be late, but don't worry, we will still have an episode. But yeah, hope you're doing well. Hope you are enjoying the last little summer we have left, if it's not yet fall where you are. I wish it was fall here, but it's kind of hot outside. And that's about it. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you back here with another episode next week. And if you're on Patreon, we have an episode coming out this weekend. So, yeah, love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll chat soon. Bye.